ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 3. Chapter's entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. This is verse number 35. Yadidasyasvan abhimantan Yadidasyasya abhimantam Varame daradhotama Varanme daradhotama Bhutebhyas tva visistrebhyo Mrityumambhum mama prabho Yadi. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, O best of the givers of benedictions, if you will kindly grant me the benediction I desire, please let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Purport. After being created from the navel of Garbhodaksaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the original created living being within the universe, created many other different types of living entities to reside in the universe. Therefore, from the beginning of creation, the living entities were born of a superior living entity. Ultimately, Krishna is the supreme living being, the father of all others, Aham Bija Pada Pita. He is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Thus far, Hiranyakashipu has adored Lord Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has expected to become immortal by the benedictions of Lord Brahma. Now, however, having come to understand that even Lord Brahma is not immortal, because at the end of the millennium, Lord Brahma will also die, Hiranyakashipu is very carefully asking him for benedictions that will be almost as good as immortality. His first proposal is that he not be killed by any of the different forms of living entities created by Lord Brahma within this material world. So, we're hearing two points that are outstanding. The position of Lord Brahma, the actual position, and the principle of asking for benedictions. First we'll address the position of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is an interesting living entity. He's the first of all created beings by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's interesting because no one has a service or what we say, birth like Brahma. Brahma was born directly from Krishna. He came from the lotus navel of Garbhodaksaya Vishnu. So he's also called Atmabhu or Swayambhu, which means that he's born without a mother, coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he's within the created living beings, therefore he's unique amongst all created living beings. As all created living beings are born by the natural process of father and mother. But he's given this special service by the Lord. And what is that service? He has to do something that nobody could possibly even imagine to even think about doing. He has to create all the living beings and he has to situate them according to their karma in the respective places within the creation. Not only does he have to create them, he has to have the understanding of how to place them within their, what we say, material modes of nature according to their previous karma. What a job. Think about that. I mean, I have a hard time just figuring out what I'm supposed to do each day. And that's an honest statement. And what to speak of Lord Brahma, he has this immense service. So can we slight Hiranyakasipu for thinking that Lord Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I mean, when you think about his service, you might think, wow, he's great. And if the one doesn't know God, or has no desire to know God, he might think Lord Brahma is the Supreme, just by his service and by his position in the creation. But Brahma is giving the honest answer to Hiranyakashipu's desire for immortality, that even I have to die. Brahma's birth and his life is 100 celestial years. So by calculations, I believe that it is one day of Brahma's life is, 4,320,000 years. And you times that by 100 years, I think Brahma's life is 311,055,000,000,000 years. How'd he evolve? And what would you do if you had that much time? Chant Hare Krishna? That's a long time. Some people would think that was a curse. I know brahmacharis would definitely think it was a curse. Because a brahmachari wants to get out of his austerity so he can go back to Godhead as fast as he can. Anyway, long life. Therefore, he has no choice. He doesn't get sick. He can't decide to leave his body and give up his service. He has to stay. He's duty-bound by his service to stay that long and perform this immense service. And at the same time, guess what? He can't take credit for any of it. Nothing. And if you read the third canto, it's amazing because Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, praying for the ability to do this service, and at the same time not to be contaminated by the effects of the service. That means the false pride that might come from having this, what we say, big responsibility. And getting the direct darshan of the Lord. I mean, Lord Brahma saw Krishna in his original transcendental form. It's mentioned that he had actually had the darshan of Krishna after he became, when we say, self-realized by his penances and austerities. He saw the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him his understanding of his identity and his service in terms of creation. So he has a tremendous... And here, Hiranyakasipu mistakenly is thinking that this personality is the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he's thinking this is the best benedictions is to go from the topmost person. Right? They say, if you walk up to a man on the street and say, please give me your mercy. What is his qualification? Just like an ordinary person. He might say, Ashibad, I bless you that you will live long enough to enjoy, the progress of India. Something like that. But what is it? He doesn't have any power to bless. So Brahma, he has that power because he's deputed by the Lord to perform what we say, great amounts of austerities, and he can give, what we say, blessings. But he can't give the blessing that Hiranyakasipu wants, and that is immortality. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead can give that benediction. He can give that benediction. Therefore, it says that one who performs devotional service to the Lord and reaches the perfection of that devotional service can become immortal. Immortality is the natural constitutional position of the living entity. Because the living entity does not die. Hiranyakasipu because he's a demon, and because he's an illusion, and because he's under the bodily conception of life, he's thinking long life means this body. And therefore, he's trying in an artificial way to receive the benediction of immortality based on the body. And because of that, you know, of course he performed the austerities, because when you approach the demigods for austerities, it's explained that they are duty-bound, as they are duty-bound to do service for the Lord to maintain the universal affairs. They're also duty-bound to give blessings and benedictions according to the performed austerities. So he's, you know, Brahma's going to give him what he thinks is immortality. But actually, it's the greatest illusion. Because no one can be immortal in this body. Prabhupada tells the story that everyone must die. He uses one example of Savitri and Satavan. He said, there has been one exception where somehow one has beaten death. Of course, death eventually comes at a later time. But one's destined time to die was destroyed by the austerities and penances of a chaste wife. You know that story, Savitri and Satavan? It's kind of a classic story throughout India. Satavan was scheduled to marry Savitri. And they went to an astrologer before the wedding. I just came from a marriage, so I'm thinking about weddings yet. Anyway, they heard from the astrologer, and the astrologer said that, my dear Satavan and Savitri, on the wedding day, Satavan will die. Now, Savitri had been performing penances, austerities to Yamaraj before that to get a nice child. She wanted a wonderful child, and she went to Yamaraj and performed the austerities that are duty-bound in relationship to Yamaraj. So, Prabhupada said, love is blind. Love is blind. So she married him anyway. And guess what? He died on the wedding day. So then Yamaraj is coming to take away, you know, the subtle body and the soul of, and the body of Satava. And Savitri, she's able to see this by her penances and austerity. So she's following Yamaraj. And Yamaraj says, what are you doing? She said, well, you're taking my husband away. She said, yes. She said, you can't do that. Why? Well, you know, I've been performing those penances and austerities to get a nice son, and now I have no husband, so how will I get a nice son? Therefore, I am a chaste woman. I cannot marry again. That is the principle of chastity. So Yamaraj said, I made a mistake. So he returned her husband. So Prabhupada said, once in the history, someone has beaten death by the austerities of their wife. Anyway, this is another subject anyway. But this is a good point, that Prabhupada uses this to illustrate that no one can live in this body eternally. Everyone must leave. But the soul, by nature, is immortal. Therefore, one who becomes fully Krishna consciousness realizes immortality beyond what Harani Kashipu even imagined. What was his desire? He wanted immortality, simply to be free from death by all the possible ways that he could conceive of, thinking in so many ways. But still, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller of Lord Brahma, and who can nullify and all benedictions, but he didn't. The Lord didn't. The Lord fulfilled all of Brahma's promises to Rani Kashipu, but at the same time, he killed him. Because the Lord is more intelligent than all living beings. Therefore, what is the point? Is that what is the ultimate benediction that one can ask for? I mean, we can ask for so many benedictions, right? We can ask for, you know, good health. We can ask for, you know, good abilities to perform, you know, activities. We can ask for benedictions for others. There's many benedictions people ask for. Sometimes they ask for wealth, sometimes they ask for health, sometimes they ask for power or some fame. Some Prabhupada said one man, he asked for extended life. He was due to die and he was praying to the physician, please give me 4 more years and I'll give you large amounts of money. Very rich man. So people conceive of all times. Well, what is the ultimate benediction? To be fully engaged in devotional service to the Lord. That is the real benediction and the only desire of a real devotee. A devotee only wants that. Why? Because any other benedictions are simply temporary and subject to the element of time and cannot satisfy the living entity's real desire, which is to awaken one's loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhakti ahoksaje ahoy tukhiya priyata yayatma supersedati. The soul can never be fully satisfied in any situation, from the highest planet in this material world to the lowest planet in this material world. All our places are temporary. And as long as one remains in the consciousness that I am their body and try to fulfill the temporary needs of the body, one will always meet what we say dissatisfaction at one point, which is contrary to the nature of the soul's pure existence. Because the soul's pure existence is that the soul is always satisfied. But in contact with the material energy, the soul meets the illusion of dissatisfaction. And that illusion cannot be eradicated simply by any forms of what we say austerities, penances, or knowledge, or cultivation of anything other than pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the aspiration of a true devotee of the Lord is to be fully engaged in the devotional service. And Prabhupada says, with love. With love. Not in the official way, just to do it as a responsibility or duty. That is also good, and on one level of what we say of performance, it may be considered acceptable, but it's not the perfection. Perfection is to engage in devotional service with love. And Prabhupada says, this loving mood of serving the Lord satisfies the living entity completely and destroys all material situations. To offer devotion to the Krishna in all situations. And Brahma, what can he offer to Hiranyakashipu? Can give him the false understanding that he may simply be, may live forever. So the benedictions of the great controllers such as Brahma or even Shiva are all subject to time. So what is our relationship to these great controllers? Sometimes some people say, should we pray to the demigods for benedictions? We honor the demigods, and we can also pray to the demigods for devotion to Krishna. Just like we see sometimes people come up to the devotees and ask for blessings, benedictions, and sometimes they pray, please, you know, give me the benediction of devotional service. So people are approaching, when we say devotees, and as a regular feature of the understanding that I need mercy in order to achieve the principle of devotion to the Lord. So when we apply that in all situations, therefore we can pray in any situation to anyone if that person is in a position to give us an opportunity to develop what we say more freedom from our material attachments and more desire to develop pure loving service to the Lord. Therefore, Prabhupada said you can pray anyone, if they can give that, you know, if they're in that position. But ultimately, what is our desire? We only want devotional service. That is it. That is the principle of what we say, pure, that is the principle of right attitude. Anything less is wrong. That might be a powerful statement. But anything is less than wrong. And even if one wants something else other than pure devotional service to the Lord, put that aside and cultivate this mood of pure devotional service. And when Krishna is pleased, he may grant that also. But But if he gives you pure devotional service, you don't even want that anymore. Whatever it may be. We see, you know, one is satisfied not simply by, you know, any position or any service other than the mood of devotional service, if that devotional service is pleasing to the Lord. And that is the key to pleasing the Lord. Actually, the Lord can only be pleased by bhakti, by love. Nothing else. Nothing else can please Krishna. The spiritual master is kind, and he's in the position to accept our service, even though it's mixed with other, what we say, desires or tendencies. And he offers it to Krishna through his pure devotion. Prabhupada said that Krishna can only be served in pure devotion. He doesn't accept anything less. But because the spiritual master is there, and the spiritual master is offering pure loving devotional service, then those who serve through the spiritual master ultimately get the mercy of the Lord, because the spiritual master offers that mixed devotion through his pure devotion. And that is called mercy. Not only mercy, that is the mercy that keeps us alive in pure devotion, in devotional service. The mercy of the spiritual master. So, that is the real, what we say, feature of the living entity's success, is to render pure devotional service to the Lord. No one can give that pure devotional service to the Lord except Krishna. Only Krishna can grant pure devotional service. And when Krishna, how does Krishna grant pure devotional service? It's very difficult to get pure devotional service. It says in the Nectar of Devotion that there are six characteristics of pure devotional service. And one of them is pure devotional service is very rare. Very rare. Prabhupada said, he used to say, you know, don't be surprised who leaves this movement, be surprised who stays. Because the path of pure devotional service is, when you come, I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, we were never under the understanding of the goal. We had the understanding that Krishna consciousness was nice. Yes. It was, you know, the philosophy was really amazing. The lifestyle was very interesting. The singing and dancing was very exuberant and joyful. And the food was outstanding. The whole lifestyle we were attracted by, and we came in that way. And then gradually we started to learn what it meant to be a devotee. So you had to give up everything. And then some of us decided not to, you know, because that's not what we wanted. We just wanted to... But the point of giving up is not even a consideration when one understands that the practice of devotional service by itself eliminates what we're trying to give up if we perform that devotional service in a loving way. Through loving devotional service, all of our material attachments are smashed, crushed, pulverized to powder. That enthusiasm to serve the Lord in a devotional way destroys any anarthas. You don't even have to, what we say, selectively isolate anarthas and try to destroy. They will be destroyed simply by the enthusiasm to serve the Lord in a loving way. But how is it possible to come to that platform? To be able to serve in that mood of devotion without any material tendencies? That is simply, we have to pray. There's where the power of prayer comes in. to use, I think I was in Pune Yatra. I think it was His Holiness Naranjana Maharaj was speaking about, someone asked a question to him. And he referred the answer to Radhanath Maharaj's explanation of how he performs devotional service. And the answer was that his success in devotional service, he said, this was his humility, that I'm always praying. I'm always praying. We have to pray to get up in the morning. We have to pray to be able to be in the right consciousness to execute our service. We have to pray for the mercy in order to chant our rounds in a pleasing way. We have to pray to execute the devotional service in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Even the power to come to the standard comes by the power of prayer. And why? Because Krishna is the, won't we say, the fulfiller of all desires. When the prayer is sincere, then he empowers that living entity with the fulfillment of that desire through the power of prayer. Prayer is very powerful when prayer is offered in a sincere way. And everyone can pray sincerely. We usually pray sincerely when we really want something that we desire badly, right? When that desire comes, just like if your life's in danger, you're going to pray sincerely. You're not going to just, if your life is in danger, you're not just going to pull out a prayer out of your pocket and say, well, let me see here, where the emphasis on where I should emphasize it. No, it's coming from the heart. It's coming out of, what we say, desperation. So everyone is under the influence of this, what we say, time factor. Therefore, the real prayer is to use whatever time we have in the proper way to execute devotional service that is pleasing to the Lord. And that is Krishna consciousness. And that makes the process of devotional service very pleasing. If we're not on that platform, then we're still trying to somehow fulfill material desires. If we're still trying to fulfill material desires, Prabhupada says, there's no question of making any advancement in spiritual life. You may have material desires, but don't try to fulfill them. If you try to fulfill them, that means you're actually mixing, you know, two things that are not supposed to be mixed. You know, you can't mix, they say, they use the standard definition, you can't mix oil and water. If you do, you can mix them, but after some time, by the nature of each's constitution, they'll separate because that is their nature. You can't mix in material desires with devotional service. So what does that mean? Well, I have material desires. Should I stop devotional service? Yeah, and people might also think like that. Because I have material desires, does that mean that I'm not qualified to practice the process of devotional service? My material desires are so strong, and it's not possible to me because they're pushing me for fulfillment. Yes. Prabhupada also talks about that. And Krishna actually talks about that in Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna is asking the question, you know, what forces a person to act against his will even though he knows it's wrong? What is that principle? I know something is not right. I even know something is against my devotional service. Or even taking something that doesn't apply to devotees, but applies in general, and people know something is sinful, and still, they're forced to do it. And Krishna answers the question in one simple verse, and he sums it up, and he says, it's lust. When it comes in contact with the material mode of passion, which is to try to fulfill that lust, when lust tries to be fulfilled, it hits the material mode of passion, and when that mode of passion, it by nature, is destructive because it cannot be satisfied. It simply burns like fire and causes the living entity to fall into the material energy. So what do we do? Hari Bol. We still have material desires or tendencies, and even though I know they're not right and still. But anyway, don't give up the process and continue to pray. The power of prayer can overshadow our desire to fulfill the things that we shouldn't try to fulfill. Not by our mental energy. Prabhupada said two things make all endeavors and Krishna consciousness successful. What are those two things? The determination to act on the principle in the recommended way. In other words, following the proper etiquette and activity to execute that service, but at the same time, prayer. So Prabhupada summed it up, endeavor and prayer. Endeavoring in the right way and the prayer for the mercy of the Lord. And that prayer for the mercy of the Lord really is the success of that activity. Otherwise, what is our situation? Brahma, he had offered so many beautiful prayers. The whole Brahma Samhita is Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. But before then, he was offering prayers and austerities in order to become qualified as a service of Lord Brahma. And his prayers are... So even if Lord Brahma is begging for the mercy of the Lord, what does it speak about us? What does it speak about us? Who are always constantly overrun by the material activities of this, being affected by the material energy. So this power of prayer is very essential. And what is the best prayer? That prayer that wants to serve the Lord according to the Lord's desire. You may take another feature. The prayer for pure devotional service, the prayer to love the Lord, but how that love may be executed in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And that is, how can I serve you? Sometimes people think, well, Krishna will accept any service if it's offered with devotion. In one sense, it's true. But then again, for those who understand deeper, what does Krishna want from me? How best can I serve? This is a question that devotees who are serious struggle with. Because sometimes you find there's so many opportunities for how best, or how, not opportunities to how best, but so many opportunities where I can put my time and energy in devotional service. But where does Krishna want me? How best can I serve? And that's a constant struggle with a devotee. Because he wants to fine-tune that in such a way that he knows that this is actually the best way for me to serve and to serve with devotion. So we also pray for that. And as Krishna fulfills all desires, he will also, when that prayer is sincere, how best can I serve? Krishna will reveal that accordingly. How best? He will reveal it in two ways. One externally through the spiritual master, and one internally within the heart. He revealed it in the heart to Brahma, because Brahma didn't have an external spiritual master. Brahma's spiritual master was Krishna. Krishna became both the external and internal spiritual master. He saw the Lord externally. He saw the Lord. He experienced the Lord's presence within his own heart. But for us, we experience the internal manifestation of the Lord externally as the spiritual master, or those in the position that can give us guidance and direction on how best to serve the Lord with love, in love and devotion. And there is no greater satisfaction in a devotee's life when that devotee knows, I'm serving according to the Lord's desire. There's no greater satisfaction. Sometimes devotees act independently. Now, maybe not so much in Radha Gopinath, but in the West, there's not so much what we say organized temples. And devotees are independent. They can make their own choice. And sometimes, without the blessings and sanctions of the spiritual masters and others, we embark on a project. And sometimes, in that project, we start to meet with difficulties and obstacles. And then the question comes, did I make the right service? Did I do the right service? Yeah. It's a natural question that comes, because we start to think in terms of, well, maybe this is not exactly what should I do. But obstacles, difficulties, challenges, and opportunities for purifications of the heart are always there in the life of an aspiring devotee, all the time. But when you're on the right path, then these things bring you closer to Krishna. When we have made an independent decision and not taken blessings and what we say direction from senior devotees, and then doubts and what we say also and loss of enthusiasm may occur in one's devotional service. So always get the blessings of the Lord through his pure representatives like that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that example when he was in Jagannath Puri, and he wanted to leave Puri, I believe, to go to South India. And he asked the devotees, headed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, if he could go. And they said no. They said, it's the Rath Yatra time, and therefore you should stay for the Rath Yatra. So he did. And then he stayed for the 4 months of the rainy season, and then he asked again. And they gave another reason. He said no again. And he stayed. And then it came around to the next Rath Yatra, and again he asked. And they said no again. So he stayed again. But then at the end, he asked for the fourth time, and they also said, they said no out of in a loving way, because they didn't want him to leave. That was the whole thing. They just couldn't bear his separation. Their love was so intense, they couldn't give his their blessings. Although the Lord was asking in the position of a teaching by example. He doesn't need their blessings, but he was showing by example. And finally, they said he went anyway. After 3 times, because he wanted to go, that was his desire. But he showed through this example that we should always take blessings, benedictions, and guidance, no matter who you are. I think in our Krishna consciousness movement, we could avoid a lot of fall downs, especially from those who are very senior in practicing devotional service, if this principle was very much more instituted as a principle within our society, to always get guidance, counsel, benedictions, and directions from others who are qualified and are our well-wishers. And we don't want the benedictions of Radhika Kashyapu. Could you imagine having these benedictions? Horrible. Yeah. Because it's an illusion. To be within the illusion that you could live in this body forever. God, that's miserable. We want to get back to Godhead. Rani Kashyapu wants to stay here and enjoy the material energy, which is not, by nature, dukkhaliya masastratam, not enjoyable. Can anyone say that Hiranyakashipu, in his life as a demon, with all his power, and with all his opulence, and with all his facility, was happy? Was it susukam Hiranyakashipu? Was he joyful, blissful, and having like kirtan? He was miserable, right? If somebody said something that he didn't like, he was ready to destroy them, right? Prahlad Maharaj, his little son, challenged him many times. He just became so angry that his anger, because it was his son at first, he somehow or other reduced his anger and controlled it. But he had everything. Here's the example of everything, but he was totally miserable. Totally miserable. So long life and whatever comes by way of material arrangements can never satisfy the soul. Soul can only be satisfied by pure loving service to the Lord and loving devotion. And that is what we aspire for. Okay. I'll stop here because it's after 9. Any questions or comments? Criticisms? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Jiva.
Hare Krishna.
You were speaking about prayers.
Prayers, yes.
Sometimes I feel also, and some devotees also, like some junior devotees.
Speak a little louder.
Yeah. That means whenever we come in front of deities, we just pray and, just be, oh my Lord, I have so many material desires and blissful.
Yeah.
So, means, like, we say, like, Krishna is also a person. So don't he get bored of like, you know, this fellow always comes and just...
Probably does. There's a story. He was like, it's the story of when, what was it, Draupadi, when she was in the assembly of the Kurus, and she was being disrobed, or attempted to be disrobed. She was praying to Krishna to save her, but she had one arm up in the air and the other arm holding her sari. And she was praying. She was still trying to hold on. So Krishna was in Dwarka, and he was playing a game of dice with Rukmini. So Rukmini, she also heard the prayers of Draupadi. She said, "Your devotee's in trouble. Can you help her? Please go save her." Krishna said, "Let's play another game of dice." She's still holding on with one hand. So he wasn't interested in it. Only when she let go completely, when her prayer was complete submission and dependence on the Lord, then the Lord was pleased by that prayer. So if your prayers are still like, "Well, I'm praying, but and I'm still like, kind of like, not really," like I remember in the old days of Krishna consciousness, "Please, Lord, make me a pure devotee of the Lord," and then Krishna starts taking everything, and I go, "Oh, not so fast, you know. I didn't realize it would happen like this." And then all of a sudden the prayers turn into petitions, and then petitions into suggestions, and suggestions into, you know, casual statements. And then casual statements into maybe, "Well, if I got time, I'll say something." So, no. When your prayer is sincere, Krishna doesn't get bored. If it's sincere, he's happy to hear that, because that's actually what he is looking for. But if it's full, if it's mixed, you know, he's going to just turn it, give it to his secretary, and let him deal with it. So, if your prayer is sincere, then, and what is the best prayer? One great philosopher said, the best prayer that we can make to the Supreme is the prayer that allows us to hear what the Lord wants from us. He calls it the prayer that contends. Contends means to be able to reach the get the mercy where we can understand what Krishna wants from us. That is the best prayer. So we can offer prayers to glorify the Lord. We can offer prayers in submission. We can repeat the prayers of the acharyas and the great souls that are mentioned in the scriptures. These prayers are recommended prayer. But in our individual prayers, in our day-to-day life and struggles in devotional service, we should never ask for anything less than the perfection. Why approach Krishna for something less, you know? So he's not going to get bored by that prayer. That prayer is what he's eager to hear. Even if it's said in broken language, even if it's said improperly, if it's a sincere prayer of the heart, Krishna will hear it. Even if you're not illiterate, even if you can't, you know, offer, you know, very literary embellishments in your prayers, you know. Even if you just say the simple prayer, but it's sincere, then Krishna is pleased. And he's pleased to fulfill that also. So just be sincere, that's all. That's what we want. You know, and sincere means we're ready to accept the mercy. Sincere doesn't mean I offer a sincere prayer, but then I'm afraid of what might come in a result of that sincere prayer. That's not a sincere prayer. If you're afraid of what might come, then you should can offer a prayer that, "Please, my Lord, give me the power to want to have pure desire." So Prabhupada said, you can pray for the desire to have pure desire. So that prayer is authorized. We may not have pure desire, we may not be able to pray purely, but we can pray for the desire to pray purely. That is authorized. And that is also a pure prayer. Okay, is that good? Anyone else? Anyone? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.